A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 289. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are discussing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Yes, we're looking at a 2003 TV movie version of the Robert Louis Stevenson classic. It's 90 minutes long. It was from ITV. And it stars John Hannah in the dual role of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And it's something we've been looking for, Brian.
Yes, that's right. We had our eye out to find an adaptation of Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that was not about a continuation with a descendant of the original Dr. Jekyll, but was an adaptation and was set in the original Victorian time period. And that's what we have here.
Yeah, certainly we've got a more sort of classic Victorian drama, Victorian London, and period, obviously, costume and so on. I will talk as we go on about how good it is as an adaptation, whether it fits our bill of being a faithful adaptation of the original novella.
Yes. So we'll describe the setup a bit here, although it is very familiar. Dr. Jekyll is a well-respected member of the London medical community, and he is giving a series of lectures which are very well attended and all very well respected. But the board of his hospitals disagrees with the experimentation program on human personality that he wants to conduct.
Because Dr. Jekyll is fascinated by the sort of dark and, I suppose, evil side of human personality and criminality and so forth. And this sort of fits in with the well-respected Member of Parliament, Sir Danvers Carew, who is seeking to improve the lot of the poor in London and sees in Dr. Jekyll's theories something that might help, I suppose, with eliminating criminality. And as a result, he sort of he becomes interested and invested in Dr. Jekyll's experiments and agrees to help him and possibly to find a volunteer for Jekyll's experimental drug that he's developing.
Yes, that's right. And Dr. Jekyll turns to what we see in many stories, turns to experimenting on himself.
Yes, because they do find a patient for him, who is, in this version, called Edward Hyde, but he dies basically before the experiment starts. And as you say, Brian, that will lead inevitably the scientist to turn to himself.
Yes, in this take on it, there is an original Edward Hyde, but we never see him.
So that's the basic sort of starting point for this adaptation. We'll talk about the characters. Obviously, we've got Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, both played by John Hannah, who you'll probably remember from Four Weddings and a Funeral. He was also in Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, and he was in the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies before Universal tried to reboot the franchise with Tom Cruise recently. And he takes on the dual role, strangely, with no real change in his appearance, Brian, just a sort of a new wardrobe and obviously a completely different manner to Dr. Jekyll. But there's nothing much in the way of changes to his appearance.
That's right. And we will talk more about how this is different from the original and from most adaptations. And we'll be talking more about the appearance of Jekyll and of Hyde. Sir Henry Danvers Carew was played by David Warner, who was in some of the Star Trek movies and in Tron and Time Bandits. He was in the new Doctor Who, across from Matt Smith and the Ice Warriors. We've heard him in many different Big Finish audios. He plays this very principled member of British government who is trying to help the poor out of poverty, trying to deal with criminal behavior in these sort of poor areas, and is seeing something in Henry Jekyll's work that he believes might help.
And I can't let us mention David Warner without once again discussing one of your trips over here to the UK, Brian, when you met him at a Big Finish day, where obviously he was there to talk about his work in the Sapphire and Steel series for Big Finish and as a version of the Third Doctor in the Unbound series. But of course, you had the opportunity to chat with him about Shakespeare at the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford, and had a very entertaining chat, as I remember.
Yes, that was definitely a moment for me, getting to talk to David Warner about Shakespeare. David Warner is often considered the best Hamlet of his generation from a stage production from the 1960s. And at this point, his King Lear is quite acclaimed as well. So getting to have a conversation with him was quite something.
Yes, I will remember it. And I mean, he's a brilliant actor in everything he's been in, and he's been in so much over the years. So onwards to John Utterson, the lawyer played by Gerard Horan, listed on IMDb as John Utterson, although I think in the original novella he's given as Gabriel John Utterson. But anyway, he is Dr. Jekyll's lawyer. And the film, in fact, starts with Utterson arriving at the laboratory with Dr. Jekyll's servants and breaking in to find the poor doctor in extremis. And, of course, he begins to read Dr. Jekyll's final confession, which is the framing device, both for the novella and for this film version.
It is nice to see Utterson as a major part of things as he was in the original book.
But not from the original book. We have Sarah Carew. So that's the MP's daughter, played by Elodie Kendall, who is a possible romantic interest for Dr. Jekyll, and quite a nice couple they make or would make. But of course, Mr. Hyde becomes much more interested in her, and perhaps in a much darker way. And I suppose, as we will be talking about, the fact that there is no difference in the appearance of Jekyll and Hyde in this version leads to some inevitable confusion. And you could see why the daughter becomes perhaps entrapped by the Edward Hyde persona.
Yes, indeed. Poole, played by Brian Pettifer, is the butler and head of Jekyll's staff, head of the servants. And he is increasingly appalled by the events plaguing this, what was a very respectable house, and these terrible things related to Edward Hyde.
Yes, because obviously with the disapproval of his hospital board, Jekyll has to move his experimentation to his house. And in classic fashion, how many times have we seen this? He has a locked laboratory. There's some lovely scientific equipment in there, all the usual sort of bubbling retorts and glassware, the sort of things that we like to see in a mad scientist laboratory, Brian.
Yes, very much the Victorian mad scientist hideout there.
But one slight difference, of course, although perhaps a significant one in terms of the theme of this film, is that Jekyll doesn't take his potion orally here. He doesn't drink the foaming cup of some strangely coloured liquid. He actually takes it intravenously. And, you know, there's a fairly clear parallel throughout this film with sort of drug use and drug addiction. increasingly so as it goes on.
Yeah, when you see someone injecting himself, the reference, I think, is fairly clear. Soon the household are dealing with the mysterious comings and goings of this experimental patient that they were expecting, Edward Hyde. But no one has actually seen Edward Hyde. We know that there isn't really an Edward Hyde there, but they see all of these things that have happened and all the damage and so on, and they are attributing this to this strange patient who is in seclusion with these experiments.
Yeah, I've not seen this particular sort of feature in any other version where they have, or as they say, they had a patient called Edward Hyde, and that's where the name appears from. But there you go, it's an interesting little sort of note for this version.
Yeah, a different take on it for sure, I think. And there is this one character, there's a young house boots boy, I guess, you know, this young servant who knows that there is no Edward Hyde and it's Dr. Jekyll doing all of this. And he is blackmailing Jekyll to keep the secret. So Jekyll changing into the Edward Hyde persona, it's gone from experimentation to addiction and to losing control of the change and what he does in this other persona.
Yes, and I think we do see this in other versions, obviously, and in the original novella, that the transformation eventually becomes something that Jekyll can't control. And in this version, what we get, of course, is some confrontations, metaphorical or dreamlike confrontations between the two versions. So you get John Hannah acting against himself, either in a mirror or in some sort of dreamlike vision sequences or hallucinations, where obviously we've got, I suppose it's the old-fashioned term, would it be, it was sort of split-screen filming, where they would obviously film the same scene twice, but with John Hannah on different sides of the screen.
Yeah, they were using split-screen effects, a little different from the much earlier versions of that, but the same idea for sure.
And of course, you know, Edward Hyde is the darkest of mankind, so his reputation for violence and debauchery grows, and we see him indulging in various sorts of terrible behaviours as the film progresses.
Yes, absolutely. So we should get into our production notes on this one.
So again, it's interesting that we haven't been able to find out a great deal about this particular version. We know it was made by the two British production companies, Working Title and Clerkenwell Films. I mean, those are two well-known production companies. We know they had some money and investment from Universal's own TV and film production company. But apart from that, about the original sort of concept for it, we haven't been able to find a great deal.
That's right. It was adapted by Martin Hesford, who mostly is known for Coronation Street and some of the Charles Dickens adaptations. So I imagine they were thinking about his sort of Dickens and classic novel adaptations when they were bringing him in for this. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was produced by Murray Ferguson, who we know worked on Paradox and Misfits. Misfits was also a Clerkenwell production, I believe, so there's a bit in common there. And it was directed by Maurice Phillips, who is best known for directing British crime drama, things like Lewis and Silent Witness and Agatha Christie's Marple series.
The music was composed by David Ferguson. I'm not sure if that's a relation to the producer, but there you go. And it was filmed, interestingly, they took the production to Vilnius in Lithuania, standing in for Victorian London, not the usual Prague where they normally take these productions when they look for Victorian London. So here they've gone to Lithuania. And as a result, when you watch the credits, you'll notice that there's a good proportion of the cast and crew were obviously local. So, you know, from Lithuanian television and film producers or productions, I suppose. But apart from that, you know, difficult to find out much more about the production, Brian.
That's right. They did very little effects work in this. It was mostly based on John Hannah's performance. They did some split screens and things, as we mentioned, and a little bit with taking the potion, but there is really very little in terms of visual effects here.
I suppose there's some costuming, because he adopts some particularly lurid purple coats and so on, because purple is a bad guy's colour, obviously. But that's one of the signifiers of which personality we're looking at.
And they do some things with fog and smoke and those sorts of things to sort of set the tone. And it's the coloring they gave it is definitely something that gives us a look for Victorian London that they were going for.
Yes, as you say, you wouldn't be Victorian London if there wasn't an element of fog, I suppose.
That's right. And yeah, and you know, they go for a certain style there with that sort of thing. I don't have an exact broadcast date, but we believe it was August 2003 that this was broadcast on ITV.
Yes. Interestingly, IMDb lists some international broadcast dates, but not the original ITV broadcast. So I'm not sure exactly of the date. Clearly, this was sold overseas because, as I say, it's it was shown in several other countries. And as we'll mention in a minute, we had to track down a DVD from Germany for this one.
Yes, that's right.
So if anybody knows the exact original broadcast date, do let us know.
So we should get into the availability here.
Okay, so as I say, in Region 2, I tracked down the only DVD version I could find, a 2004 release, which currently on Amazon is the German version, but it does retain the option of the original English voice track without any subtitles on screen. So you can watch it as it was originally intended over here. Currently going for between £5 to £10 on Amazon.co.uk. No extras. And this was a version that I got hold of and then sent out to you in Canada, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's right. Region 1, there is no release. This is not a widely distributed show. So next time, we will cover more of the story and watch the relationship between Jekyll and Hyde become more tense and more difficult.
Yes, and there's two particular well-known crimes that Edward Hyde will commit, we'll talk about. Plus, of course, we will mention a few of the other adaptations of the original book and how this one holds up in comparison to stuff that we've talked about before.
Yes, absolutely. You can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our previous episodes, including a couple of other Jekyll and Hyde adaptations. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group there, where we have lots of fun discussions going on.
Also, you'll find us at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, a network of allied shows about various aspects of geek culture, including, of course, British television science fiction, where we go out Mondays and Tuesdays. But as ever, drop by and say hello.
Yes, please do. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.